confession to make. Maybe some of you can relate with this. I hate group travel, which is not a good thing when you're involved in ministry because you go on a lot of trips with a lot of people, right? It's a bunch of different cars, multiple people, multiple vehicles, heading in the same direction, going to the same event, mission trip, whatever it is. And here's what I don't like about it. I don't like being a passenger, and I don't like following someone else. I have to be in control. I'll admit it. I have to be behind the wheel. I've got to be the person who is in charge, in the lead, out in front. There's two rules in group travel, right? Two critical components of group travel: stopping and speed. When and where you stop and how fast you go. Because all of us know that the most important thing of a group trip is getting there on time. Right? Got to get there. I don't like stopping. I like moving. I like to keep the train rolling, to keep going. You know what, in all reality, is I can be the same way in my spiritual life. My faith can be the same way. I like to be in charge. I like to be in control. I like to be the driver in the driving seat of my own faith journey. I like to tell Jesus when and where we'll stop. I like to tell Jesus when and where I can meet with Him. I like to tell Jesus what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it. How about you? It's easy to get stuck into that trap, isn't it? To not be able to relinquish control to Jesus. To not allow Jesus to direct and lead our spiritual journey. As believers, as Christians, Jesus invites us to be followers. To follow Him. Jesus demands that we place Him in front. That we follow Him. It's hard, isn't it? Because we like to stay in control. To believe in Jesus is to be a disciple who follows Him in order to learn from Him and then model our lifestyle after Him. In the New Testament, the word disciple is kind of like our word apprentice. An apprentice is someone who is learning a specific trade so they can go out and do it themselves. Apprenticeship is that hands-on learning so that you can go out and do that specific thing yourself. In our case, as apprentices of Jesus, we are called to be learners, to follow Jesus, to learn from Jesus in order to go out and fulfill His mission, to do what He has called us to do, the mission of making more disciples. Being an apprentice of Jesus means modeling your life, your thoughts, your words, your actions, and everything after the example that Jesus has given to us. In other words, a disciple is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to doing Jesus' commission or kingdom-building mission. This week is the last week of our message series called Love Does. And we're learning what it means to be an apprentice. How we are called to live an extraordinary life by risking and sharing the love of God with others. We've been talking about how being an apprentice or being a disciple is all about going into the world and being Jesus to the world, being the hands and feet of Jesus, doing stuff that helps build the kingdom of God by sharing His love with other people. If we are going to be real, true believers, followers, disciples, if we are going to be apprentices, then we are called to be intentional. We must be intentional about learning from Jesus and living out what we learn. So here's two questions that you can ask yourself in order to be more intentional about following Jesus, being an apprentice of Jesus. First one is, what is Jesus saying to me? What is it that Jesus is telling me? And then, secondly, what am I going to do about it? See, I think we need to place ourselves in a position to hear Jesus and then go out and do something about it. Do stuff. In those two questions, we challenge ourselves to go deeper in our relationship with Christ and actually be people who make a difference in our world. Jesus challenged the first disciples in the same way, and I want to look at a story found in Luke 5, starting at verse 1, going to verse 11 in the New Living Translation. Listen to this story about how Jesus challenged the first disciples. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Bad night of fishing. The best time to go fishing on the Sea of Galilee was in the middle of the night. The best place to go fishing on the Sea of Galilee was in shallow water. And here we have Jesus, a rabbi, on the shore, teaching. Simon Peter washing his nets, listening to Jesus. And then he begins to tell them where to go fish. Think about that. What a mundane task. You've just been skunked fishing, and now it's cleanup duty. You're washing and mending your nets. Imagine Peter and his brothers maybe standing on the shoreline doing that menial task, and Jesus in his boat a little bit a ways off of shore teaching the people. I would imagine that Peter was probably mending his nets and listening to what Jesus had to say. Maybe they were challenged by what Jesus had to say about faith and their spiritual life. And then Jesus turns to them and challenges them to get back in the boat and go deeper and to let out their nets again. Not the right time, not the right place. Imagine if I showed up at your workplace and started telling you how to do your job. What would that feel like? What would it be like? You would have every right to say, "Pastor Doug, you don't know what you're talking about. Just turn around and go home. It's okay, I understand." And here is a rabbi telling a fisherman how to fish. And Peter listens. He takes the risk. And he's rewarded with the experience of a miracle, a work of God. Think about the risk that Peter took. He's a fisherman. Jesus just got finished teaching the crowd. They were standing on the shore. His respected brothers and friends were there as well, the other fishermen. "Peter, I want you to go out into deeper water and throw your nets back out." Uh-oh. What do I do? Do I listen to this rabbi? What if I don't catch anything? I'm going to look like a fool. Peter, why did you listen to him? But he does it anyway. He listens. Our mission as disciples is to partner with Jesus in the fishing business. To begin fishing for people, building His kingdom here on earth. To be His apprentices, we'll go out into the world and reach people for Him. So the question is, where are we at in our faith journey? For some of us, maybe we're on the shore. We're listening to Jesus teach, but we're on the shore. For some of us, maybe we're a little bit out from shore in the boat. And maybe wherever we're at, the call that Jesus has on our life is to go deeper. To go out. To go deeper in our faith. To go deeper in our relationship with Him. So how do we do that? How do we become better apprentices and fishers of people? Let me share a couple simple steps to help make us more missional as apprentices. The first step of living as a disciple on a mission is to be willing to leave our nets. To be willing to let go of our nets. You see, for Peter, those fishing nets were everything. It was the family business. It was their means of livelihood. It was everything to Peter. But he had to let go. And that must have been an incredibly hard thing to do. But in order to follow Jesus, they had to let go of their nets. So why? Why were they able to do it? Well, first of all, it was out of obedience. Unquestioning obedience. They were simply obedient to Jesus. I don't know why. I don't have an answer to why they were obedient and listened to Jesus in this case. Maybe it was something they heard Him say while He was teaching. They had no rational reason to listen to a rabbi tell them how to fish. And verse 5 it says, "But because you said so, because you said so, I will let down the net." I think so many times when Jesus is calling us to do something, we want it all laid out for us. We want to know every detail before we take a step. And yet here, Peter says simply, "Okay, Jesus, I trust you. Because you said so," without all the details, without a step-by-step instructions on what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, "I'll obey. I'll do it. I'll let go of my nets and I'll be faithful to follow you." If we're obedient and listen to what Jesus is telling us to do, out of simple obedience, maybe we would see God do more miracles in our lives. The second thing I see is that they made Jesus and His mission a priority. In verse 11 it says, "They pulled their boats up on shore and they left everything and they followed Him." They left everything and followed Him. They walked away from their family. They walked away from their family business. They walked away from their friends to follow Jesus and be obedient to Him. It shows incredible faith and trust in Jesus instead of themselves. They gave up their secure and comfortable lifestyle to follow Jesus. The nets symbolized their identity as fishermen. Their nets gave them their meaning, their value. What are the things in our life that we cling to? What are the things in our life that we won't let go of because they give us meaning and value? What are the things that we might need to let go of in order to really follow Jesus? Following Jesus on our mission of making disciples requires that we make Jesus our Lord, our leader, our CEO, that we are called to listen and obey and follow His direction. In order to do that, We must be willing to let go of our nets. The second step to living as a disciple on a mission is to make loving and blessing others a lifestyle. To make loving and blessing other people a lifestyle. Not just an event. Not just something that we put on our calendar in 6 months that we have to go and do for the church. But a lifestyle. Our mission of going into the world with the good news of the gospel is not just about sharing what Jesus did on the cross and through the resurrection. It's not only sharing it verbally, it's sharing it with our hands and with our feet. It's going into the world and showing people the good news of the gospel. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's about blessing people and helping meet their needs emotionally, physically, spiritually, all of those things. Blessing them and helping them to trust and to follow Jesus. The biblical idea of blessing is to provide people with the strength and encouragement that they need to be filled with wholeness and the happiness that only comes in Christ. Paul challenges us to bless each other. He says this in Romans 1, verses 11 to 12. I long to visit you so I can share a spiritual blessing with you. It will help you to grow strong in the Lord. I'm eager to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. In this way, each of us will be a blessing to the other. So here's the challenge for you. I know that we often challenge everybody here to share the gospel verbally, to know the story of Jesus and be willing to share that verbally with other people. But I don't know about you, but that can be a kind of a scary thing. But what if you backed away from that a little bit and thought about just simply blessing other people first? It's a little bit easier to do, right? To be a blessing to someone, to see how God works in and through you. Well, this morning I want to share 5 really quick, simple ways that you can bless other people. Here's the first one. Begin with prayer. The most powerful thing that you can do is pray for other people. Who is it that you work with? Who's in your neighborhood? Who do you go to school with? Who do you play on the sports team with that you can start praying for? Who is it that you know that's disconnected from Jesus and the church? Or maybe they're a part of the church, but really not growing in their faith. Who is it in your life? Who do you know that you can pray for? Because that is where it starts. A prayer will work. It's powerful. You can pray that God would create a spiritual curiosity within them. You could pray that God would begin to provide opportunities for you to bless them. Paul challenged Timothy the same way in 1 Timothy 2. He said, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them and intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. That word intercede means literally to bring them and their needs before God. And that's what you're doing when you're praying for someone. You're literally bringing them before God and asking God to bless them. Is there a greater way that we can bless other people than to bring them into God's presence and allow God to begin working on them and in them? Here's the way it works. Praying for others will not only bless them, it will bless you. Because when you begin to pray for other people, you begin to become aware of their needs. You find out what's going on in their lives. It begins to create a compassionate heart for other people and a willingness to love them. You see, that's what prayer does. When you pray for other people, your heart becomes more like the heart of Jesus. So, in the praying for other people, God begins to work in you. God begins to work in their lives as well. Love does when we begin to bless people by praying for them. Here's the second simple way to bless other people. Listen. Simply listen. Listen to God and listen to them. How often do we take time to really just simply listen to God? I know that in my prayer time, in my prayer life, a lot of times I'm just firing things at God, telling Him what I need, what I want Him to do. But how often do we simply listen to God? God, what is it that you want me to do for this person? What is it that you want me to do for my neighbor? Help me, Lord, to be more aware of those opportunities. Ephesians 5:18 says, let the Holy Spirit fill you and control you. When we are quiet before God, when we give God an opportunity to speak, when we listen to what God has to say, He will direct us. He will tell us what He wants us to do. And then take time to listen to other people. So you're afraid to share the gospel with someone. How about this? How about you just simply take time out to listen to their story? Right? James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. You know that one of the best things you can do to develop your relationship with a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, someone from school, is to simply listen to their life story. Because when you do that, it shows that you are focusing on them and that you care about them. Take time to listen to other people. Love does when we invest quality time into listening to the Spirit's direction and listening to other people's stories. The third simple way to bless other people is to eat together. Who doesn't like to eat? Right? We all have to eat. You're at work. Why not invite a coworker to spend some time with you at lunch? At school, in the cafeteria, why not try to eat your lunch with someone different that day? Get to know someone new. Figure out how you can be a blessing to someone else. Take time while you eat together to listen to their story. Romans 12:13-16, Paul says, get into the habit of inviting guests into your home for dinner. They need lodging for the night. Enjoy the company of ordinary people. It's time for us to get out of our comfort zone and start spending more time with neighbors, coworkers, and people that we don't know so that we can be a blessing. Love does when we invest quality time in having fellowship by sharing a meal together. The fourth simple way to bless others is to serve them. One of the fastest ways you can bless someone else is to do something for them. Don't wait for them to ask, and it doesn't have to be anything major. One simple practical thing that you can do to serve your neighbor. John says it this way in 1 John 3, if someone has enough money to live well, sees his brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. We must be intentional about being available to serve other people in practical ways. Our problem is that we're way too busy. Our schedules, our calendars are out of control. We're maxed out. We don't have any margin in our life in order to have the time to do practical things for our neighbors. I am guilty. We're all guilty. We max out our calendar so that we, you know, the first thing that pops into my mind is, oh, I can't do that. I've got to get to this appointment or on time, or I've got this thing that I've got at a certain time that I have to be there for. What if we created enough margin in our life where we could actually be available by God to be used by God to do practical things for other people? Love does when we seize the opportunity to serve other people in practical ways. The fifth simple way to bless other people is to share the story of God. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do you know your story? Can you share your story with someone else? Can you share the story of what God has done in your life? Again, it becomes a little bit easier once you've spent time with someone else and you've built a little bit of a relationship with them. Maybe if you've spent enough time listening to them, they will actually get to the point where they'll ask you to share your story. And there's your opportunity. Are you ready for that opportunity? Can you share what God has done in your life in a way that allows you to share the gospel with them? Think about this scenario. If we're living out our faith in such a way that people are asking questions about it, and if we're prepared to answer those questions about our faith, then you are in a place in your faith journey that allows you to begin sharing your faith without fear. Today, we've called it Do Stuff Sunday. And we've got various events that we're doing in our community. And if you didn't get the chance to sign up for one, the bad weather is God's sign that there's still time for you to sign up for one, because we may have to delay a few of those. So if you're interested in participating, go back to the information table after the service and find out if there's a place where you can serve. But here's the other thing. Let's not just make this an event on our calendar. Let's make this a regular habit. Let's make blessing other people part of our lifestyle. And if you weren't taking notes this morning, if you'd like to have a little bit of a pocket guide, we have a pocket guide called Five Simple Ways to Bless Other People, and it's available at the information table. We need to be serious about beginning to implement these habits in our lives. We need to make blessing other people a regular part of our life, not just an event that we do on a specific Sunday. Current statistics show that close to 80% now of people in our community are disconnected from Jesus and the church. Our mission field is all around us. It's at work. It's in your neighborhood. It's at your school. There are 7 out of 10 people, wherever you're at, are disconnected from Jesus and the church. How can you bless them? What is God calling you to do to bless them? I want to challenge you to do that. God calls us to be His apprentice, to be His disciples who go out, who let go of the things in our life that we need to let go of in order to be on a mission that He has called us to. And I promise that if you start investing in blessing in other people, you'll find that God is going to bless you in the process. Let's pray together. Lord, it's so hard. It's so hard for us to take time out to bless other people. Lord, show us what it is in our lives, the nets and the things that we cling to that we need to let go of in order to be a blessing in this world. Lord, show us as your apprentices what you're calling us to do and to be in order to bless others. Lord, put people in our hearts and our minds of who we need to pray for, who we need to begin to serve and begin to bless. Give us those opportunities. Lord, we thank you for being a blessing to us, for coming here and giving yourself as a sacrifice for our sin to bless us with eternal life. Empower us, Lord, to be a blessing in this world. We pray in your name. Amen.